This footnote is about weight gain and habit forming.
All right. Go for it.
Yeah, so we were talking about the kind of idea that's presented in the book that if you are overweight, that that is a failing of your ability to stick to healthy habits.
Mm.
And a complete ignoring of all of the vast other reasons there are to struggle with weight, should it be high or low.
Yeah.
The fluctuations in weight, the role that eating and food plays in our society,
yeah,
and even in our physiology.
Yeah. And this is something that you have personal experience with.
Oh, yeah. I have gained and lost a lot of weight in my life. If you added it all up, probably multiple human beings worth.
Okay.
Mm. It's just a deep, dark, nasty hole that is one of the parts of the book where, and one of those things I said, I get to parts of these books where I go, I'm not going to read any of this anymore.
Mm.
That one for me was this, the punishing yourself if you don't reach your dieting goal,
yeah,
or dieting habit. I got confused about the habits and the goals and the what in the book. That was a trigger for me.
Mm-hmm.
Punishing yourself for not sticking to certain sticking to certain diet goals,
yeah,
started when I was a teenager before I had an eating disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And then became an eating disorder. It's just like step number one in societal expectations that skinny good, fat bad. If you are thin, you are disciplined and doing the correct thing. If you are fat, you're doing the wrong thing. If you are losing weight, you get positive, immediate feedback, good feedback, like, oh, look, you're losing weight. You look so good. You must be doing something right. What are you doing? Oh, my God. And you're just like, ooh, yummy. Feedback. Nice, happy hormones in my brain.
Yeah.
And it becomes addictive.
Mm.
And then you can't keep that up forever.
No.
You either die, you stop, and you just suddenly cure the whole eating disorder thing you had. Or you rebound because you've been thrashing your body,
mm,
and thrashing your mental fortitude to basically deny yourself for so long periods of time. And that often becomes this yo-yo cycle that we've very much normalized. Like, everyone just, like, gains and loses 20 kilograms every year, right?
Yeah, that's totally normal.
Yeah. And we have not made it central enough in our healthcare system, mm, in society, anywhere, that this is not normal.
Mm.
If you don't want to call it an eating disorder, let's call it disordered eating. I think we can all agree that it is disordered to, yeah, fluctuate up and down like that. And so much research out there shows that it is more unhealthy to yo-yo back and forward in this constant, like, desire, or even put on you by doctors, like, oh, you just need to lose weight and all your health problems will go away.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Which is not evidence-based medicine.
Yeah.
It's actually healthier to stay at a heavier weight if you cannot healthily lose weight and sustain that weight loss, than to keep on thrashing your body in this up and down cycle.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just, it was a trigger for me, that part of the book.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, I've experienced that myself. So in a year after starting my business, actually, I gained 30 kilograms, and I just put it down to, well, I'm home with the fridge more because I've started a business, and I'm not exercising as rigorously as I used to. But actually, I had a medical device implanted a couple of years earlier, and it was my body sending out major signals that something was up.
Mm.
And I didn't listen to those signals for years because I made it about my eating habits and my exercise habits. And even on weeks where I had only had the cleanest of food eating, you know, this whole clean eating thing. Yeah. My partner and I even did those juice cleanses where you have nothing but vegetable juices for 14 days. And in 14 days, he would drop like 15 kilos and I gained 2.
Mm.
And if that wasn't evidence enough that it has nothing to do with eating and exercise in a lot of cases, then for me, that was all the evidence that I needed. But because of toxic positivity and this like intense personal responsibility, I then made it mean, well, there must be some mindset issue that I'm trying to keep the weight on to keep myself safe from the male gaze. I'm trying to keep the weight on so that I'm not successful and outshining everyone in every element of my life. And so I still didn't actually get a medical diagnosis for further years because I spent that time deciding that there was just something wrong with my mindset and my subconscious sabotages of myself, not that, that my liver was completely shutting down and my body was slowly being pumped full of toxic chemicals and heavy metals and all of those sorts of things. And so, and I had the same thing, like every doctor that I went to saw my weight first before they saw anything else. Yep. And so they diagnosed the weight as the root cause of all of the health conditions I was facing instead of looking for the weight gain as a symptom of a further root cause.
Yep.
Everything was just dialed up to, well, you must be eating too much. I had health coaches tell me I mustn't have been keeping my food diary correctly or I was secret eating, right? Like so many accusations. And it was almost like I started to gaslight myself.
Yep.
Like I would be like, I would go and do my weigh-in and I would have gained weight again. And so I'd be like, well, I did have that chocolate on Tuesday, so I suppose I didn't really nail it perfectly. And so, yeah, for me, it was almost 8 years before I actually figured out what was at the cause of what was going on for me, which was a medical device.
Mm.
And then it was another 2 years after having that removed before I saw any kind of recovery. And that involved getting like IV injections every 3 weeks and, you know, like really hardcore focus and attention on this. And again, I just want to talk about privilege here. Those IV drips were $500 every time. Now,
wow.
I don't know a lot of people who would be willing to do that or risk. I didn't have kids. Like I'm pumping it all into my health and well-being and trying to recover here.
Mm.
But even for me, like I don't know that myself 10 years ago would have even toyed with the idea of trying it because there's no evidence here. This is not a doctor prescribed thing. This is just, you know, like just a way that maybe it will help support this and maybe it will get your liver function back and maybe this and maybe that. Mm. But I was so desperate at that point in time that I did it and I'm so grateful that I did. But I just think about all of the people who they don't have that. It's not spare. That they see it as taking it away from something that they could be investing in for their children or for their future. Or, you know, it's even the self-denial and the blame that I gave myself for I'm wasting money on this. Like maybe I should just eat. Still after that, like, oh, it's just so toxic and so it's in every pore of my body.
Yeah.
I've gone through so much guilt in regards to finances and healthcare, and that I've just like I think that's why my health has gone downhill so much in the last year.
Yeah,
I've been feeling so much guilt over getting something I need that I know so many people aren't getting. even just with like selling my house to pay for healthcare.
Yeah.
Which everyone's like, oh, but having a house, that's the goal. That's what, like, that's one of the main things that you need to have. And I've decided that I would rather live in a caravan and have health.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of like breaking the rule.
Yeah.
And so now I've been fighting this guilt. I'm like, no, it's fine. You're allowed to do this.
Yeah.
And you need to stop listening to other people's take on what is valid.
Yes. And I think that's the key takeaway, isn't it? Like, you need to stop listening to other people's take on what is valid.
Yep. And listening to your body. Like, we're just eating. Like, oh, I'm doing this diet and that's like what I'm supposed to do. Hang on, does my body feel good? Do I feel well?
And for a lot of people, their diet becomes their identity.
So much.
I'm keto. I'm paleo. I'm this. I'm that.
Mm-hmm. And
I'm a breatharian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think also the whole thing around the habits, right? If we come back to the judgment and the assessment that people make of us, like, we do live in a society where our physical appearance is so judged and people make assumptions based on that physical appearance.
Yeah.
And so, like, it comes down to race and skin color. It comes down to weight, gender identity, all of those pieces. How many assumptions do we naturally make simply based on what our upbringing or society has told us about people who have those physical characteristics? Like, it's just wild that we still have to live in that kind of space and experience that. But until every single human that we interact with is willing to do the work of unpacking that, unfortunately, that's just where we're at. And like, I saw that with my eating and stuff. Like, there was just an assumption that I wasn't exercising enough, or I wasn't eating well, simply because I was ballooning. Like, I was just getting puffier and puffier. And, you know, we just see so much around that reward, as you were saying, Mika, for people reward you with their praise when you've lost weight. And for me, there have been two times where I've lost a significant amount of weight. One was I had an abusive partner. And the other was I finally got this medical device out and things started to go okay for me. But the way I was treated in both situations was exactly the same. And it was always this praise of, I must be so diligent. And in both cases, I was actually like not trying to lose weight, not working out strenuously. But if you say that, then you're judged for like basically bragging of like, oh, it just fell off me, you know, now you're making everyone else feel bad because there's something going on. So yeah, I think that there's just so much wrapped up in identity around our physical appearance.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know the answer to unpacking all of that other than I can do the work on me for me and, you know, ask questions of people around me, but I just don't know how we change that.
Yeah.
I have a rule. Don't comment on people's appearance.
Yeah.
And I don't really accept that in places I'm at. I just kind of either redirect the conversation or kind of like, let's not.
Yeah. I agree. Well said.
So good.
All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing that that aspect of your experience, Mika and Tash.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thanks.